Okay, as we get started on this, we're going to run a little bit longer today, but the message is shorter than usual, so you'll be glad to know that. Everybody said, thank you, Jesus. I would like for us to read. This is a scripture that we have. You have just a half of a verse, really, and then you have the first paragraph of Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. Right under that. I'd like for us to just read the scripture and then go right into the paragraph. Okay? Here we go. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was a season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going directly to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the superlative degree of comparison only. That is the crux of the matter. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would show us Christmas to us and all that it is today. And I ask that you bless the words that I speak and give them some power, guided by your Spirit for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about the faces of Christmas so that we can all see the difference and receive each one for what it is. The faces of Christmas are the mask of Christmas, the cosmetic face of Christmas, and the third is the real face of Christmas. The mask of Christmas is the one that people usually resist on Christian terms. The mask of Christmas is the face of Christmas that irritates and angers Christians, who in turn alienate themselves from others by their own anger. The mask of Christmas is protested against by some Christians as they somehow defend the sanctity of Jesus. The mask of Christmas has to do with the paraphernalia that surrounds us. It has to do with sleigh bells and snow. It has to do with movies that over the years starring either Bing Crosby in White Christmas or Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life, or more recently, the movies that we've seen in the last 30 years when Bill Murray played that modern-day Scrooge, and then there was the Santa Claus movies, Santa Claus 1, Santa Claus 2, and then there was Bad Santa, God bless him, and Bad Santa 2 is out there right now if you want to. And now you got the Christmas office party out there. But there was also the remake of the Miracle on 34th Street. The mask of Christmas has to do with Christmas trees and Santa Claus. The mask of Christmas has to do with all that paraphernalia of Christmas, without mention of Christmas being the birth celebration of the Savior of the world. It is a mask. Because it is impossible to see through that mask to the real face of what Christmas is really all about. Now, some followers of Jesus become highly indignant and say that gift-giving is nothing but a commercial ploy to capitalize on something spiritual. Some Christians get really pushed out of shape and make some high-sounding disclaimers and sanctimonious statements about what Christmas is all about. When it comes to the mask of Christmas, I'd like to challenge some of the notions people sometimes consider to be very righteous. The mask of Christmas, and let's talk about the crassest point of that, the almighty dollar, which isn't as almighty as it used to be, and the commercial aspects of Christmas. If that is all a person sees in Christmas, then they're really all fouled up and they have been hypnotized by the mask of Christmas, and even the gift giving is wrong in some ways. The gift giving that happened at Christmas was really God's gift to us in Jesus Christ. And then we also see those wise men in giving in response to what they encounter. This is where the gift giving actually came from. The mask of Christmas picks up on this gift giving and becomes an expression on the human level of love between us, which is perfectly appropriate. The mask of Christmas picks up on the human level of love. And what it does is it generates anywhere from about half to three quarters of the energy of our national economy. And somebody will say, well, Jack, isn't it wrong and aren't you preaching against it? To which I reply, not me. Let me ask you, if you don't like getting presents, then you can come up here and preach. You can have this place. I mean, let's be blunt about this. How many people here like to receive gifts? I would see hands. That's good to know now. We're all on the same page, right? Now, if you like to get gifts, then here we are. And still the voices are, but Jack, isn't all this commercialization wrong? Well, yes, if it only means a buck to you. That is unfortunate that your viewpoint is that shallow. But let me suggest to you another thought concerning the mask of Christmas. Isn't it possible that God foresaw this whole gift-giving thing that would come about and the economic impact of it? And isn't it possible that God foresaw that there's nothing that man could ever do and the most secular person needs to come to terms with it? There is nothing that humanity could do that would generate this kind of response. I mean, you don't get this for the 4th of July or Mother's Day even. Or Father's Day. Or even Easter, for that matter. Humanity could not just generate this kind of response. That's what happens in the human hearts at Christmas from the exchange of gifts and that takes place on doing the businesses and the stores and all the paraphernalia of the mask of Christmas. It would never have been generated out of the milk of human kindness. God knows. Isn't it possible that all this gift-giving had to come from something greater than what is really resident in us to make it a global impact that it does and so repeated every year, year in and year out for 2,000 years? Isn't it possible that God loved the world so much that he sent his son into the world to break our greatest problems, which is our bondage with sin, and at the same time that he would also provide a means to break some of the chains of poverty right along with the yoke of sin? So before you wipe out all these commercial aspects of Christmas, consider the possibility that God is a fairly smart businessman as well as a great savior. The mask of Christmas, however, isn't just in its commerce. It's also Santa. And here we come to another problem. There are people who feel that it is their assignment from heaven to somehow debunk Santa and make a crusade against him in the name of Jesus. Let me state it very succinctly as I can. Santa is no threat to Jesus. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, Santa is no threat to Jesus. I mean, really. You know, when we say it, it kind of becomes obvious. And someone will say, but Jack, it seems to me that he gets a whole lot more attention in some places. Well, that's true. But let me tell you something, by making a crusade against Santa in the name of Jesus, as if that is somehow going to be a way that you defend Jesus, all you're going to do is make enemies for yourself. And probably more significantly, you will make people hostile to Jesus. Now, I tell you, Jesus is very secure in the presence of Santa Claus. Now, I don't know if you've seen the picture of Santa Claus kneeling before the babe in the manger, but at least in the Pitzer household over the years, I know that Santa kneels before that child in the manger and offers his gifts and treasures. I've come to realize over the years that Santa is a pretty smart guy, at least when it comes to the Pitzer household. The mask of Christmas. The mask of Christmas follows the contours of the face. If I were to put a mask on up here, you couldn't really see my face. It would just follow the contours. And that wouldn't really reveal the face behind the mask. That's the first face. The second face is the cosmetic face of Christmas, and the cosmetic face is seen in the pageantry of Christmas. The cosmetic face of Christmas is like a woman whose face is aglow with fresh makeup, and the highlights are all highlight all her good points and plays down any flaws in her face. Makeup applied well to the face of a woman will cause her eyes to sparkle and be alive, and she will become radiant in her looks. It will cause her lips to be full of color and her complexion to attract the eyes of men. The pageantry of Christmas is good, like makeup is good. Can I hear an amen from the girls? Yeah. The cosmetic Christmas takes us back to the scriptures, and they are reread. And we are reminded of the Savior and the wise men and the shepherds, and all the stories are really aglow and filled with beauty and life. We have the right focus. We can see the real face of Christmas because it is all focused on Jesus. But the cosmetic face of Christmas is using makeup. It enhances all that is beautiful and plays down some of the reality and flaws of the real face of Christmas. The candlelight service that we have on Christmas Eve, our children's program that we had last week, the adult program which is going to take place next week, that's part of the cosmetic face of Christmas. It's the face of Christmas with makeup on. Now, if you go around to the churches in this county and in our country, you're going to find all kinds of cosmetic faces of Christmas in their pageantry of the season. In some churches, there's probably too much makeup, and in others, not enough. But nonetheless, there's behind the cosmetics of our Christmas pageantry a real face of Christmas. The cosmetic face of Christmas is the real face of Christmas, aglow with the beauty of a woman properly dressed and aglow and with makeup for a night of festivities. The cosmetic face of Christmas is much like a dream date with that girl or that guy you always wanted to go out with. The cosmetic face is much like a beautiful painting without all the uncertainties of life and all its troubles. That's the cosmetic face of Christmas. The third face of Christmas is the real face. The real face of Christmas is the flesh and blood truth of real life, like your life and my life. What's going on in our lives right now? When the shepherds came from those fields around Bethlehem, they were men who didn't have time to take a shower. And they showed up with the sweat of their work and the smell of sheep on them, and that stable probably stunk to high heaven. No pun intended, from all those animals that were present there. The wise men that came, which was actually a year or so later, probably weren't wearing royal robes that we usually see in the cosmetic face of Christmas. They were men who had made a long trip, and they were probably traveling on camels, and they probably smelled like the camels, and it wouldn't surprise me if they needed to find a saloon and get a good shot of whiskey. They had sand in their hair and dust on their feet, face, and probably stunk from the sweat, and they had made a long journey just to get there. The real face of Christmas. The times were bad with Herod on the throne. He was a tyrant. He ended up murdering all the male children in Bethlehem. Mary was pregnant out of wedlock, probably mocked, and when she gave birth, I expect it hurt. It was painful. She was probably dirty and sweaty, and her back hurt as she rode that 100-mile trip from Nazareth up to Bethlehem, and she was 8 months pregnant. Oh, my God. The real face of Christmas took place in the struggles of this world, just like you and I have. And there are struggles that we go through. There is no makeup for the real face. The real face of Christmas is a combination of the joy of new birth and the struggles of survival in a tough world. The real face of Christmas is about God coming to us in the midst of our lives with all the stuff that's going on in our lives. And some of us are having a really hard time just surviving in this world. There is something very important for us to understand about the real face of Christmas. The real face of Christmas is moving beyond the pageantry to where life is really lived and where the experience of Christmas is really focused. I take tours in people's lives, and I know a lot of things that are going on in the lives of people here, but I don't know everything. But God comes to us at Christmas in the everyday of our lives. He comes to us in our joys of family and friends, and he comes to us in our grief as we experience Christmas, maybe without loved ones who have died. He comes to us in the light of life in children's eyes as they open presents. He comes to us in single-parent homes, where in the midst of the festivities there is so much brokenness. He comes to us in our broken homes and the hostility that goes with that. The real face of Christmas is seen in the lives of people who are alone, who feel the sharp pang of really being alone. The real face of Christmas is in the eyes of the father or the mother or both who provide for their children through the sacrifices that they make of themselves. The real face of Christmas is in family quarrels. And at this time of the year, that stuff all intensifies. The real face of Christmas is in the difficulties of communication and living in families, between parents and teenagers, between spouses. The real face of Christmas is seen in the lives of people who have the world by the tail and everything is going great. It is a time of thanksgiving and fun. The real face of Christmas is when God comes to us at Christmas in the everyday of our lives so that we can see the struggle for the redemption of not only the world, but the struggle for our own redemption in our day-to-day living. The real face of Christmas is Jesus being born in you and through you in the secret places of your soul, the secret places of your life, the secret places of what you think about. That's where the real face of Christmas abides. So may the Lord Jesus come to abide in your house this next couple of weeks in the reality of your life. Just as he arrived in the reality of this world 2,000 years ago, may you also experience the beauty and the cosmetic nature of the Christmas around us and the dreaminess of that beautiful person aglow with the makeup that gives the birth of Jesus a striking, eye-catching appearance. And remember, there's also that masquerade ball going on out there. Someone may say to you at the end of Christmas season, "Who was that masked man?" And you might have the opportunity to reveal the truth. Why, that was Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. I want us to close this message by reading this scripture and the first paragraph of Tale of Two Cities again. Here we go. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We are all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the superlative degree of comparison only. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and the times of our lives.